Okay. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the fourth mystery in the Bible, and this is the restoration of Israel. All right, so let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, and we will read verses 25 to 29. Romans chapter 11, verses 25 to 29. Starting in verse 25, the King James Bible says this: "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes." And then verse 29.
Amen.
"For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." All right, so what these verses are saying is that an unbelieving Jew is an enemy of the gospel. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 13 to 16. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, become followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men." And then verse 16, "forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost." So an unbelieving Jew is an enemy of the gospel. But why did God choose them? You'll see that in our text verses in verse 28. "As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake." Amen?
Man.
And even though God may have put Israel and the kingdom of heaven to the side, and he now has a approximately 2,000 year church age until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, God is not through at all with Israel. At Israel's final rejection of Christ and his kingdom, then God took Israel and put them to the side. And is now dealing with that approximately 2,000 year church age. Parenthetical church age. Which means it has a beginning and has an ending. Right? So there will always be God's chosen people. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. See, God called Israel out of slavery and bondage in Egypt so that he could be their God and they could be his people. And so you see in verse 29, the word repentance, that just simply means a change of mind. Now, I've heard someone say, I saw a post the other day about repentance, and they said that repentance is not a change of mind, it's a change of heart. You know, and that makes sense. Because the heart controls the mind, correct?
That's right.
So, repentance. Let's look at repentance. Exodus 13:17. And let's read 18 as well. And you can read that, brother, if you want.
17 and 18,
yes.
Okay. It says, and it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. The children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt.
Yes. So notice in verse 17, repent there. Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. So they see war, you know, God's leading them out. They see war. No, I want no part of this. Let's go back to Egypt. Changing their minds. All right, now let's go to Exodus 32:14. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. So, the Lord even repented. Notice Lord there, all caps. The letters all caps. That is God Almighty.
Amen.
All right. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. So, excuse me. So the Lord repented. The Lord repented quite often. Changed his mind. All right. So God called Israel out of slavery and bondage in Egypt, so that he could be their God and they could be his people, and he is not going to repent of it. He's not going to change his mind. Yeah, that's like those that have a calling into ministry. God's not going to change his mind about that person's calling either. Might put them into different ministries from time to time. But he's not going to change his mind about calling a person into ministry. Because it's for his purpose, not for ours. All right, so here is the mystery that God is not through with Israel, and he will restore them someday. Now, many churches believe that Jewish doctrines in the Bible are for the church, the body of Christ, such as tithing as a requirement. Now, and this kind of teaching has the possibility of leading someone to believe that they, the church, the body of Christ, has replaced Israel, and that the body of Christ is spiritual Israel. Now, I was at a church service a few years ago. The pastor had a guest preacher there, and this preacher from the pulpit said that the church is spiritual Israel.
My goodness.
But that's not the case at all. We, the church, are not spiritual Israel. We are the body of Christ. We're not Jews. We are the church. Now look at 1 Corinthians 10:32. I'll show you that there are three types of people today. 1 Corinthians 10:32. You want to read that, brother?
Give not offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God.
Yes. So there's three different people in the Bible. Jews, Gentiles, church of God. All right? So I wonder, brother, if these verses here deal with, say like that preacher that said that the church is spiritual Jews. All right, look at Revelation 2 verses 8 and 9. Revelation 2, verses 8 and 9. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Verse 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. I wonder if that applies to those who say that the church is spiritual Israel. But anyway, God will bring back all the Jews to their land. See, God promised Abraham that he would give this triangular shaped land to him and his seed. Now, all of Israel, well, I shouldn't say all of Israel, but Israelites are scattered. But when Christ comes back at his second coming, then he is going to bring all those scattered Jews back to the promised land. All right, they'll no longer be scattered. All right, look at Genesis 15, 18. I'll show you that promise. Genesis 15, 18. And in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So that land is given to Israel by God, and nobody has a right to take it from them. But yet you look at a map, what do you see? You know, you look at Israel. Israel is this little bitty tiny country. But all around it, you will see Muslim nations. Yeah, and you know, Israel, you know, they try to build, you know, and there's other countries that say, no, you need to stop building. You know, they say that, you know, we need, you know, in order to have peace, we need to have a two-state area there. But there's not going to be any peace until Jesus Christ comes back. Right? But anyway, you remember Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 deals with Israel's final restoration. You know, and then Ezekiel 37 deals with the Valley of Dry Bones. And that's the physical resurrection of Israel. So God, one day, he will restore Israel. When Christ comes back at his second coming, then they will see him. Israel will see him. And they will accept him. So now, when Christ comes back, he will rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. All right, the millennial reign. Look at Daniel 2:44. Daniel 2:44. Let's read verses 43 and 44. You can read that, brother, if you like.
Says, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves the seed of men. They shall not cleave one to another. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, shall never be destroyed. Kingdom shall not be left to other people. Stand forever.
Amen. All right, so that's the kingdom of heaven there. All right, now also the kingdom of heaven, I think about this. There is a three-tier heaven. All right, so When you talk about the kingdom of heaven, would that three-tier heaven also be considered? Also be a part of it? I mean, how can I say this? In the new heaven and new earth, there will not be a three-tier heaven. I mean, the third heaven, or not the third, but well, I take that back. The crystal sea, the deeps, it's going to be taken away. You know, and then God's glory is going to shine all throughout. So, I really can't say that there's not going to be a three-tier heaven, you know. But God's glory, when that sea is taken away, then God's glory is going to shine all throughout. All right. So, but anyway, Israel become a nation in 1948. Right, and so here is some facts concerning God's dealing with Israel. Right, Israel is blind spiritually as a nation, but only partly. Now, I want to show you. Let's go to our text verses. Romans 11. Let's look at verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Notice ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So, a person that thinks that God is through with Israel, the Bible says here in verse 25 that they are ignorant and they're wise in their own conceits. They're conceited. And then verse 26 says, so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Jacob is Israel. Right? And then verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them which I shall take away their sins. God made a covenant with Israel. And he will never break it. God makes a promise, he keeps it. He will never ever break it, and he'll never ever tell a lie. Right? And verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. And in verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So, that's it. You know, we just need to remember that God has only taken Israel and has put them to the side for right now. And he's dealing with that approximately 2,000-year parenthetical church age. But when the church is raptured out, then God is going to deal with Israel again. In the tribulation period, 7-year tribulation period, Jewish doctrine will be preached again. The church is no longer there. We won't see 1 second of the tribulation period. Right? That tribulation period is there to get Israel saved as a nation. It's got nothing to do with the church. Right? And then, number two, the fullness of the Gentiles is about to come to an end. Right? And the rapture will fulfill the body of Christ, and then Jews and Gentiles will be saved separately. Right? Number three, at the end of the tribulation, when Jesus Christ returns, all the surviving Jews will look on the glorified body of their Messiah and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then number four, God will then establish a new covenant with the nation of Israel. Israel will one day regain its ascendancy over all nations, or over the nations. But not before their Messiah returns and gets rid of her sin of unbelief. And it is a sin. Unbelief is a sin. Unbelief on Christ. So let's you and I love the Jewish people. You know, they're God's chosen people, but yet I have read that it's being taught now that Israel is the bad guys. And that's why I think you see the protests and things like that, you know, to stop the war in Gaza, you know, and things like that. So the world today is backwards. So, but you and I, as Christians, you know, we should love Israel. All right. One day God is going to restore them. All right. And Israel as a nation will be saved. Amen. All right. So that is the restoration of Israel. You got anything, brother, that you want to add?
I don't have anything, brother.
Amen. All right. So we'll go ahead and we'll stop right there.